I've been reading through the gospel lesson for today earlier this week, and it got me to wondering, what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? What's the point of this gospel? I remember a few years ago, opening up the paper, you would see the column by Miss Manners, and you would find out just what you were supposed to do in certain social situations. Anybody ever read this column in the paper ever? That's kind of what I thought of when I was reading this kind of life etiquette lesson that Jesus is giving. When you go into a party, which seat are you supposed to take? Well, you might want to take the one that's up front next to the host in the middle of the room, the good seat, the one with the nice cushion on it. But really, you should take the least important seat, Jesus says. It kind of feels like he's giving us life advice, not kingdom of God advice. So what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is it an advice column of where to sit at a party? Maybe. Is it rules for how to live with one another? Maybe. Is it an etiquette lesson? Maybe. Now, I don't think it's any one of these things, but I think the gospel of Jesus Christ can encapsulate some of these things. Some of these things are a part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? It is the good news of the kingdom of God. The good news that the kingdom of God has been flung open for all of us. It is the good news that salvation is offered to us. That forgiveness of sin is ours for the taking. The gospel of Jesus Christ is hope in the most hopeless of situations. And that's what I love about the gospel, is that it takes these broad, these magnificent claims and brings them right down to earth into this messy situation of what do? Where do you sit when you go to a dinner party? Because Jesus tells us that it is in these ordinary, these mundane situations where we can learn the most about the kingdom of God. We can learn something about the kingdom of God when we are invited to a friend's house for dinner and don't know where to sit. The ordinary things of life can teach us about God. I believe we can learn about the kingdom of God when we sit down and make out our grocery list of what we need to buy at the store. I think we can learn something about the kingdom of God from the ordinary life we lead. I think that no matter what we are doing, whether it is the grandest of things or the most boring of things, we can learn something about the kingdom of God. If you take a look at one of those calendars from the Society of St. Andrew, if you look through it, it gives you something to do almost every day of this week. And a lot of these things are the most ordinary of things. Have something special for dinner this night. Think of this while you're eating this day. Put a couple of coins in an offering today. These are the most ordinary things of life, yet they become extraordinary when they teach us about the kingdom of God. And I think that's what Jesus is doing here. He's not writing an advice column. He is teaching us about the kingdom of God in the ordinary, everyday experience of life. And here's a special thing. He's not doing anything new. The words that Jesus are coming up with are not anything new. It's something that we should have learned very early in our lives. How to live with one another. In fact, these words are so old, they're recorded in Scripture already when Jesus comes around It's Proverbs 25, verse 6 and 7 that Jesus is reciting. He's tweaking it a little bit, but the bare bones of what Jesus is saying are recorded in the wisdom of Solomon. When you are invited into someone else's presence, take the lowest position and be invited up, rather than take the highest position and have to be embarrassed when you're put down. This is the messy life lessons that we learn as children and that we need to keep practicing throughout our lives that I think can teach us about the kingdom of God. And this all, I think, has to do with how we count things. Literally, how we add things up, which I was never very good at. But here people are counting their social status. We don't know anybody that does that, right? We don't know anybody that's so concerned about their position in society that they make sure that they have themselves placed between so and so, and make sure that they are in just the right place in society. But if we don't do that, we still count other things. Last week we talked a little bit about time. Anybody count the minutes to something? When we're cooking, we count the minutes, and we set a time when we count the minutes as they go down, because those minutes become very important for us. Or we count the days till school starts. I mean, no children that are doing that. I don't know if they're counting in anticipation or counting in dread at this point. But they're counting down. How many of us count the numbers in bank accounts and see if those numbers are adding up? How many count the opinions other people have of you? So many people think I'm a pretty good guy, and so many people think I'm not so good, and I'm really hoping that this column over here of people that think I'm good is bigger than this column over here of people that think I'm not such a good person. We count the opinions other people have of us, and we try to make sure the number of people that have good opinions of us outweigh the number of people that have bad opinions of us. And if we get one of those numbers to zero, we're doing pretty good. But this is all about counting. How many of us count our blessings? Let me tell you, that's the one thing you don't have to count. Because we are a blessed people. We have so many blessings that we don't even really need to count them. Sometimes we don't realize we have all these blessings. Sometimes we don't realize how blessed we are. But let me tell you, we are not poor when it comes to the blessings that we have. Anybody know who the richest person in the country is right now?
Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett? He's up there, I know. He's in the top number somewhere. I don't think he spends his days counting how much money he has. Because when you have so much of something, at some point you've just got to stop counting it. Let me tell you, if we are so blessed that we don't have to count our blessings anymore, then we will be doing wonderfully. And I believe that we are just that blessed in our lives. So instead of counting our blessings, why don't we try giving them away? Why don't we try taking the things that we are blessed with and offering them to someone else? In fact, I think this is a good lesson if we have any children in our lives that are about to go back to school. I think this is a good lesson to share with them. If we are good at something, this is a great time to share it with someone else. If we have been blessed with some great ability, let's share it with somebody who has not been so blessed. And I think this is a good lesson for all of us, too, because we are a blessed people. We have been blessed in ways that we have not even begun to realize yet. And I think we can start by just looking around this sanctuary right now to see the people that we are blessed with is just a start of the blessings that God has given us. No, we are not poor in the blessing department. We are rich beyond our wildest dreams. We are so rich, we've run out of places to store our blessings, I think. And I think it's time we start giving them away. When Jesus walks into this house, into this dinner party, he's walking in the shadow of the cross. This whole affair takes place as Jesus is walking towards Jerusalem. Every day he is getting closer to the city. Literally every step he takes, he is getting closer to the city of Jerusalem, where Jesus is going to walk his talk. Because here is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God. I can't think of a higher social status to have. And he makes himself lowly for our sake. He is a King of Kings who is carrying a cross step by step through the city of Jerusalem. He is walking the talk. We've been walking with Jesus all summer. Towards the beginning of summer, we were looking at the lives that Jesus walked into. He walked into the lives of soldiers and dead people and people who are possessed by demons. And he walked into these lives and he changed them. He blessed lives and he raised lives and he released captives. And we were invited to walk into each of those lives with Jesus Christ and to share in those miracles. And as we got towards the end of summer, we began to walk with Jesus on his walk to Jerusalem. And that is a walk that we are invited to walk with as well. We are invited to walk to Jerusalem. To walk carrying the cross of Jesus Christ. Literally to put ourselves at the lowest place. And then be invited to the greatest seat in the house. Just as Jesus was invited to the greatest seat in the house after carrying his cross. And that seat is the kingdom of God. That is where we are invited to those kingdom gates that have been flung open for us when we walk in the steps of Jesus Christ. When we have walked those steps, we find our lives become so blessed that we cannot count them anymore. We cannot even count the number of blessings we have anymore because we are so blessed and we just have to start giving them away because we have been walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. And those footsteps have led us to the cross, which lead us to the open gates of heaven itself. And that, my friends, is the best seat in the house, the seat that I truly believe every single one of us is being invited to join with Jesus Christ in sitting. Let us follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Know that we are blessed and find the kingdom of heaven waiting open to us. Let us pray together. Lord God, I give you thanks that you have blessed us beyond imagine. And that you have given us so many blessings that we cannot help but start giving them away, O Lord. Lord God, prepare us that as we walk the lowly path that Jesus Christ walked on this earth, we are being made ready to sit in the place of honor at his side. I pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.